might just remain standing. Amen. Get you turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3. I've got several verses to begin my reading with, several portions. Appreciate those songs. Amen. And enjoy singing patriotic songs. I'm not against it. I'm for it. Amen. And I mentioned this morning that, Lord willing, I was going to try to preach a message, a thought that's on my heart. I'm just calling it a Memorial Day sermon. That's all I know to call it. A Memorial Day sermon. And I'm going to preach to you a little bit about some importance, I believe, of a memorial and a Memorial Day. And let me say before I read my text that we are grateful to have the visitors that we have. Good to see Daniel with us again tonight. Amen. And I should have shook your hand when I was back there a minute ago, and I missed you. I'm sorry. But then this young lady visiting with us, glad she's here with us as well. I missed getting her name, but glad she's here nonetheless. Amen. And glad you're here, all of you that are here this evening in the house of the Lord. All right, Exodus chapter number 3, we'll begin our reading in verse number 13. Exodus chapter number 3, this is the story of Moses. I say story, that doesn't mean that it's a made-up story. It is the account of Moses before the burning bush out on the desert. And he saw this bush burning. God was in the bush speaking to Moses. Verse number 13, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and then shall they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? Here's his answer. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Those are all capital letters, letting you know that's God's holy name. It's actually, they say that's the name Jehovah. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. And this, look at this, and this is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. God set up a rock, if you want to say it that day. God set up a stone. His name is the solid point. His name is the focal point. He said, that is my memorial. That's how I want to be known. I am that I am. Now in Exodus chapter number 17, and hold these places if you can, because we'll be looking at these again as well. Exodus chapter 17 and verse number 14. Exodus 17, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. If you know the story of that verse, the account again of that verse, Amalek had attacked Israel from behind. They just came by them, and those little ones and those weak ones that were behind Amalek came and just destroyed them and attacked Israel from behind unprovoked, just in their vileness and evil. They attacked, and God said, you tell Joshua to fight with them, and you tell Joshua to completely eradicate them. And you write this in a book, and don't ever let Joshua forget it, that I am going to mark out the remembrance of Amalek. But he said, I want this to be a memorial. They won't be remembered, but I will be remembered. That's what he's saying, all right? And it's talking about war. By the way, that's what Memorial Day is about. And then one more scripture in Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 13. An account of the woman that came to our Lord and anointed his feet with tears and him with the ointment. She poured that ointment on his head. And some of them got upset about that. They said this was a waste. No, it wasn't a waste. It was a sacrifice. And I want to say that there's a big difference. There's a big difference. The world would tell you that when a man dies on the battlefield, that's a waste. I want to say that's not necessarily a waste. That's a sacrifice. And there's a lot of difference. There's a lot of difference. Verse number 13 of Matthew 26. Verily, these are the words of our Lord now. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, this shall also... Wherever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us in prayer, please? We are. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you. Help us, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I certainly appreciate the prayer. Well, my message tonight, to be honest with you, I think it's important. I think it's a very needful message really to our whole nation. I'm certainly not saying that I am of ability to speak to the nation, but our nation needs to remember some things. And that's what Memorial is about, Memorial Day. And so my message tonight will be, to me, emotional, and some thoughts that God has given us that I think are of great importance. And some of it will be, especially the introduction, I'm going to read you a lengthy statement that is just historical account of Memorial Day and how it came to be. I mentioned this morning that a couple of years ago, I preached a message on the Sunday nearest to Memorial Day, in which I called a Memorial of Fallen Soldiers. It wasn't a Memorial Day sermon. It was a scriptural account of David honoring the death of King Saul and his son Jonathan and his sons on the battlefield. I said to you then, Saul was not all good. There was bad things about Saul. And soldiers are not always necessarily good, but thank God for soldiers. Amen. We wouldn't be able to meet like we're meeting tonight if not for soldiers. Amen. And so I thank God for it. But that sermon that I preached out of 2 Samuel chapter number 1, in which David honored the memory of Saul and his sons that had fallen in battle. And I believe that that sermon was a good example, biblical example, of what Memorial Day is supposed to be about. Now tonight I'd like to take a few minutes, and visit this topic again. I'm not going to make promises whether it be long or short. When I studied it, I thought it'd be short. But as I prayed over it, I don't know what it's going to be. But we'll just have to see how the Lord does. But I want to try to give you some more points of information and some points of instruction, if I can, concerning what I believe is this important event. I said this morning, and the men were talking to the prayer room. Brother Hall said something, maybe somebody else said something in the prayer room, and I was already thinking towards this line that helped spark that. They made the statement that the soldier, and I don't remember his name, the soldier that is credited with having killed Osama bin Laden, apparently recently wrote an article, and he said, don't anybody wish me a happy Memorial Day. Because Memorial Day is not supposed to be a celebration. Memorial Day is supposed to be a national day of grieving. A national day of remembrance. Amen. Now we're not so callous that we go to funerals partying. Amen. And we don't have to weep like others that have no hope, but at the same time we don't go rejoicing at funerals. Although, let me take an aside and say this. I have encountered shouting at a funeral service.
I have been moved to do the same myself at a funeral service. And I actually quenched the Holy Spirit, I'm sure, by not obeying the Lord in that particular account. But it's not that I was happy they were dead. It was that I was happy that I had hope of that they were in a better land. Amen. And so those things are true. But this thing about Memorial Day being a celebration. Now, I'm not against you taking off work. Matter of fact, I think it's a great thing. I'm not against you having a barbecue grill with your family and different things that go along with that. I'm not against that. I think those are good things. But this is not a day of partying. This is a day of remembrance. It's a day to be reminded that many men have died. And now we'll have to talk about men and women in the military now. It didn't used to be that way, and I don't think it's supposed to be that way. But that's how it is today in that account. And so, of course, some that used to be men that now say they're women in that. We're living a strange day. I told somebody the other day, I can say to my boys, I remember when I was a boy. One of these days, women will be able to say that. It's a strange day. Something wrong. Amen. Something wrong with that kind of a day. Amen. But let me just begin this message, if I can, with some information about how the United States of America came to celebrate such a holiday. And when I say celebrate, we recognize it. The word holiday, we take it as something special, wonderful. It has the connotation of a holy day. That's one of the reasons why we take off work. Not that I think that it would be sinful to work, but it's to recognize it's a separated, sanctified day from all the other days. Amen. But according to the article on the webpage of history.com, I'm going to read you this quote, lengthy quote. Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May, honoring the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. Memorial Day 2018 occurs on Monday, May 28th. Originally known as Decoration Day, it originated in the years following the Civil War and became an official federal holiday in 1971. I was shocked that it was so late in time. Many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries or memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades. Unofficially, it marks the beginning of summer season. Therefore, that's some of the celebration that goes involved. All right, go back to the quote. The Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history and required the establishment of our country's first national cemeteries, Arlington National Cemetery. By the way, the history of that land belonged to General Lee, and they buried those soldiers there to mock General Robert E. Lee. But he was such a patriot that rather than being upset at the mock, he was pleased that men of such distinction would honor his ground with their grave. Amen. Let me go back to my reading. By the late 1860s, Americans in various towns and cities had begun holding springtime tributes to those countless fallen soldiers, decorating their graves with flowers and reciting prayers. It is unclear where exactly this tradition originated. Numerous different communities may have independently initiated the memorial gatherings. Nevertheless, in 1966, the federal government declared Waterloo, New York, as the official birthplace of Memorial Day. Waterloo, which first celebrated the day on May 5th, 1866, was chosen because it hosted an annual community-wide event during which businesses closed and residents decorated the graves of soldiers with flowers and flags. On May 5th, 1868, General John A. Logan, leader of an organization for Northern Civil War veterans, called for a nationwide day of remembrance later that month. Here's his quote. The 30th of May, 1868, is designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet churchyard in the land, he proclaimed. The day of Decoration Day, as he called it, was chosen because it wasn't an anniversary of any particular battle. On the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. Can you imagine that? In those few years, 20,000 soldiers had already been buried in that battlefield. Many northern states held similar commemorative events and reprised the tradition in subsequent years. By 1890, each one had made Decoration Day an official state holiday. Talk about each of the northern states had already made it an official state holiday. Southern states, on the other hand, continued to honor their dead on separate days until after World War I. Memorial Day, as Decoration Day gradually came to be known, originally honored only those lost while fighting in the Civil War. But during World War I, the United States found itself embroiled in another major conflict, and the holiday evolved to commemorate American military personnel who died in all wars. For decades, Memorial Day continued to be observed on May 30th, the date Logan had selected for the first Decoration Day. But in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in order to create a three-day weekend for federal employees. As with so many other things, that law was passed to help them have extra days off, not necessarily to honor our dead soldiers. The change went into effect in 1971, the same day that declared Memorial Day a federal holiday. Cities and towns across the United States host Memorial Day parades each year, often incorporating military personnel and members of veterans organizations. Some of the largest parades take place in Chicago, New York, and Washington, D.C. Americans also observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries and memorials. On a less somber note, many people take weekend trips or throw parties and barbecues on the holiday, perhaps because it unofficially marks the beginning of summer. I think that's true. Now, with those things in mind, I want to think on some thoughts about why have a Memorial Day, or what's use of a memorial. The word memorial is found in your King James Bible a number of times. I think it's 32 times that the word's found in your King James Bible. I've got it in my notes, and I'm pretty sure that's right. But I wonder, what's the importance of a memorial? There's three things that I want to say to you, if I can, and point out three points. First of all, I want to say that remembering is important. I want to say, number two, that recognition is important. And I want to say, number three, that remorse is important. Amen. Remembering is important. In our text that I read to you, our original text, Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15, God gave that lengthy introduction of Himself, naming Himself for the first time to a mortal man. He gave that name, I am that I am, later shortened to just I am. I am that I am is this: nobody made me, I am. That's his point. Nobody made him God, he's God. He always has been, whether anybody wants to recognize it or not. Amen. Amen. I know there's people running around saying, I don't believe there is a God. And somebody wrote a book some years ago, and a little tricky. He said, God does not believe in atheists. Well, I'd say that's right. I don't believe in atheists. I believe, like I read, somebody else said this: an atheist is somebody that doesn't know or won't admit who their God is. They've got a God somewhere. It may be their own intellect. It may be their own ability. But they've got a God somewhere. Amen. Even heathens that don't know how to spell the word God, don't know the name of the word God, have a God of some kind. Amen. There is a God in heaven. That's God said, I am. That's all he needed. Who said for me to come down there? I am said. Amen. He's big enough to make himself. He's big enough to make everything that is. He's big enough to get his people out of bondage. Amen. And that's the way that he's given that statement out to Moses. And he said to Moses, that's how I want to be remembered. That is my memorial. Verse number 15. He says there at the end of that, and this is my memorial unto all generations. As long as there's a human being living, I want them to remember me, that I am the God, the only one that really is God. Amen. There's some importance in remembering. And that's the first account of the word memorial in our Bible. Another account there that we read, the second one we read, there's others before this, but in Exodus 17, you have the case, the account again, as I said, of these soldiers going to war. These, be honest with you, these men were not soldiers. Joshua became a mighty soldier. Joshua became a mighty leader of an army that conquered Canaan land. But they didn't start out as soldiers. They didn't train as soldiers. They were slaves. They were slaves. They were just family men trying to get their family out of slavery. They were just men that were trying to get their family across that blistering desert over into the promised land. They were just family men, but war came to them. And when war came to them, those family men turned out to be soldiers. Thank God they did. Amen. And we ought, by the way, we need to remember that. And America was not founded by a military. America did not establish, by the way, communism does that. They try to establish by military might, but America was not established by military. America was established by men just wanting to be men and have a place to raise their family where they could worship God in liberty and freedom and tell the world, leave us alone. And if you don't leave us alone, we'll fight. Amen. Amen. The flag they used to fly that said, don't tread on me. You remember that? Became popular a few years ago again when they started up that movement. Somebody help me with it. What? Tea Party. Thank you. The Tea Party movement had that flag. Don't tread on me. The idea of that was, don't step on me or you might get bit. Amen. Don't mess with me. Leave me alone. That's how America was founded. And by the way, I believe that's how it still ought to be. Amen. I don't believe we got any business trying to run the world. I don't believe we have any means for trying to put it all in one world government. Even our president don't need to be the president of the world. Amen. That's a trail I don't have time to run. But we need to be reminded of that. We need to remember it. Joshua became a soldier. That day he became a soldier because God enabled him to overcome the enemy. And he said, I want you to write this in a book. And I don't want you to let Joshua forget it. I want you to rehearse this in Joshua's ears. Amen. You see that? Exodus 17:14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Well, we're still fighting in Afghanistan, but we're not fighting Amalek. God put them out of memory. God wiped them out. Amen. Well, here's my thoughts along some of it. There's some things that we need to remember. Remembering is important. He uses the word remembrance in verse 14 and the word memorial. And memorial, if you look it up, it has the idea of a remembrance. Memorial Day is a day of remembering. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. Now, I looked up the word remember. I'm interested in words and I'm finding out more and more and more. Our words, they say they mean something. They do. They mean more than we realize they do. Right. But the word remember comes from two Latin words. Old Latin words, by the way. Re, meaning to do again. We know that. Repeat. A lot of things that redo. Re, meaning to do again. Memor, M-E-M-O-R, means mindful. Remind. Remind. Being mindful. The word memory is the mind working within itself. That's what memory is. Memory, for example, I don't know. In the commotion of things, I don't know what I did with that note that Brother Kuhn gave me. I don't remember. I remember the note. I remember how it looks. I don't remember where I put it. But I didn't have to have that note in front of me to be able to remember because my memory, my mind, and I'm not real good. You know that if I don't even know where the note is. And I'm doing good to remember his name. Amen. Sometimes. But I don't have to look at it to say that young man's name is Dean Kuhn. I don't have to look at it to say that he's in Texas, that he's 48 years old, that he's going to have open heart surgery. I can remember that. My mind can work on that itself. It's mindful. God gave us a brain. I said that this morning. And it's a blessing that we have that to be able to remember. Sometimes things happen that it hinders our mind doing that. And then we need some outside help. Right? Another illustration. When I couldn't remember the name of the Tea Party. Amen. And they was good enough to help me with that. So, memory, it's the mind working within itself. To remember means to call to mind. Amen. We use that type of language when we talk about recall. Recalling things. Amen. You remember those. It means to bring it back to mind. We talk about recollect or recollect. It means to collect our thoughts about a subject. To bring them back together. So the word remember, it's in the word memorial. I said that word memorial is found 32 times in the King James Bible. Here's an interesting point. 29 of those times are in the Old Testament. 29. Only 3 times in the New Testament. And I'll say something about that in the New Testament because we'll get to that one in a moment. But in the first case, when you think about God, God wants you to recollect His power. God wants you to recollect His provision. God wants you to recollect His sufficiency. That He needs nothing. We're needful. He's not. Amen. He don't need us. We surely need Him. Amen. That's what He wants you to remember when you think about God. In the second case, God told Moses to put down these things in writing. Why? To stir up Joshua. To stir up the mind of Joshua, that he might remember how evil Amalek was, that he might remember how unprovoked Israel was, that he might remember how God moved on their behalf. Amen. That it might stir him up to action. Amen. And so you got the idea there that a memorial was to stir up Joshua. It was also to inform Joshua to stand strong and to do God's will faithfully. Amen. There's an account similar to that in our New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. Peter said this second epistle. I, beloved, now I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind. You remember that phrase? By way of remembrance. God put some things down in writing that He wants us to never forget. God put some things down in writing that He wants us to repeat and to reflect on and to recall and to recognize and to remember and to never forget. He wants us to put those things in action. Why? Because remembering stirs us up. I'll tell you this story. It's a little bit humorous and accounts an actual true story. I don't know if I've told it here. My dad had a half-brother. My grandmother, my dad's mom, was married before she married my grandfather. Now, one of the reasons the first marriage didn't work, she married when she was 12. I don't advise that for anybody. Amen. But she married a man. She had a child. She never raised the child. Her parents raised the child. And the man took off. But nonetheless, Hobart was that man's name. Hobart was my dad's half-brother. Hobart worked in the furniture factory. And he was the supervisor over the carpenter crew of the furniture factory. And they had a policy that if you got in a fight, then they would fire both of you that's in that fight. A lot of companies have that policy. Doesn't matter who swung first. Both of you are going to get fired. Well, in this particular case, Hobart found two men fighting and he separated them. And they really did not want to let one of them go because he was a very good worker. Other fella, not so good. They was willing to let him, but they didn't want to let this one go. So they told Hobart, bring them both into the office. And they brought them in the office. And he's sitting there in front of the big wheel, buddy. I mean the big shot. I remember what big wheels are for. But they're sitting before the big shot. And so the big shot says to him, he says, all right, tell me what happened. And so the fellow's sitting there like Brother Bell. He's sitting there. He's calmed down now, collected himself. And he starts telling about how that he got provoked. And the more he tells it, the madder he gets. Hobart said he seen the blood coming up his neck. And he said he knew, this ain't going to be good. And said the fella stood up and he clenched his fist. He said, I think I will. I know I will. And he just drawed back and punched the guy right in the office. Well, he's losing his job anyhow. But here's my point. His remembering stirred it up. By the way, here's some good advice to families. When you've been over the problem and it's over and done with, a good thing to do your best to forget it. Don't remember it. Don't rehash it. Don't bring it back up, because when you do, you very well may stir back in that mess. Amen. And you know, some things you stir in, just think more and more and more you stir in them. Amen. Amen. But remembering stirs us up. I'm convinced that's probably one of the reasons some of this pacifist, limp-wristed crowd wants us to forget about American history. I'm convinced of that. I believe it's right. I'll say this and I'll move along. Remembrance stirs us up. It stirs us to rejoice when we recognize how good God was and is. It stirs us up to react when we realize how evil the devil is and how evil the enemy may be. And it stirs us to action. It stirs us to diligence. And it stirs us to faithfulness. That's why it's good for us to remember. Amen. Our nation needs to remember. Amen. Our nation needs to remember that the blessings of freedom, the blessings of prosperity, the blessings of safety have cost us dearly in times past. Amen. Our present blessings came at the price of blood. Amen. I say this, those soldiers deserve to be remembered. Their stories deserve to be told. Amen. Not just told, but retold and told again. I remember when I was a boy in school. It was after the flood, but it's several years ago. And when I was in school in the early years, I mean, they told us about George Washington. I mean, but he never done a thing wrong in his life except for chopping down that cherry tree. But he didn't even lie about that. And he was just such a great man. Abraham Lincoln, just honest Abe, you know, like a car salesman. And just, but they told all these stories about how great these men were. But then it wasn't long, they started pulling them down off of their pedestals. They started painting them as evil men. They started painting them as errant men. By the way, I'll say this. I'm not going to say that he didn't have flaws. You have flaws. I have flaws. The best person you know has flaws. But that don't mean that you have to go around all the time talking about their flaws. Amen. That don't mean that you don't ever talk about their good things and the benefits. Amen. But they quit. They took our heroes down from their pedestals. And they started putting up what I think are pathetic heroes. Ball players, movie stars, and musicians. Pathetic. Amen. Well, let me get back here. I may find my place in my notes. All right, I put this note here. I'm of the opinion that the failure to teach history to our students in school is one of the major downfalls of our modern education system. Amen. Brother Bell was talking to Sunday school this morning about them not teaching cursive writing anymore. They don't teach American history. They don't teach much about history at all. I read a few years ago, they said in a California history book, it was a high school, I believe it was a high school history book, might have been college. It wasn't a grammar school. Either high school or college history book had one paragraph, three sentences about George Washington. Had 14 pages about Marilyn Monroe. Something bad wrong there. Amen. Something bad wrong. I believe it's a major downfall of our modern education system. Now, some might call it a communist conspiracy. I've heard that. Others might apply the blame to a globalist, one world movement conspiracy. I've heard that. But I think whatever the reason is, it's a detrimental, devilish, perhaps demonic conspiracy. Amen. In bygone years, soldiers were heroes. But since the 1960s, soldiers have been too often portrayed as villains. Amen. And I'll just plug this. This is my opinion, and so you can take it for what it's worth. I'm not telling you this is Bible, but I'll say this. If football players don't want to come out on the field when the national anthem's being played, I don't want them coming out on the field at all. Amen. If you don't like our country, you are welcome to leave. And take anybody else with you that feels the same way. Amen. That's right. Amen. We need to be reminded, we don't have to build walls to keep people incarcerated in our nation. We got to try to build some walls to keep criminals out. Because they're doing their best to come in. Amen. That's true. That's true. Well, I'm afraid that America has amnesia. She's forgotten. I'm afraid that America suffers Alzheimer's. She can't remember some things she needs to remember. Amen. People that cannot remember important things have a tendency to be confused about a lot of things. Amen. We see it in the human realm. Can I say our nation has become so confused about so many things because she has forgotten where she came from and how she got here. Amen. She's forgotten so many things that they need to be reminded of. I say it this way. Our nation needs to remember how the United States became the greatest nation on the earth. Amen. It wasn't a great country before Christopher Columbus came over here and ruined it. It wasn't a great country while the Indians had the utopia going across our nation. It wasn't a great country. No. It wasn't a great country until the pilgrims came to America not looking for gold, not coming for greed, but trying to escape the clutches of the Roman Catholic and the Protestant movement in England. Amen. They wanted to worship God in freedom and in liberty. Amen. And they carved out of this waste-barren wilderness a nation. And they didn't do it with communism either, by the way. Amen. They didn't do it with communism. They tried it. William Brewster, you read about it. You read, what's that plantation? Plymouth Plantation. You read about it. They tried communism. It did not work. People starved. You know why? Because if you can't reap the benefits of your own garden, why mess with it? If the fellow next door gets to lay in bed all day and you got to take him your tomatoes, then why bother working your tomatoes? Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so they realized that in order to have a nation that could support itself, that it had to be a capitalist nation. Now, I'm not talking about greed running rampant. I know that has happened. But I'm telling you, we're living in a day when communism's getting more and more pleasing to the people. Socialism's getting more and more exciting to the people. That's amen. Amen. Why is it? Well, it's gaining such a foothold because we're living in a nation that wants free things. And I put the word free in parentheses, in quotes. Not parentheses, in quotes. Because nothing is really free. Free health care? Somebody's got to pay for it. Free housing? Somebody's got to pay for it. Amen. Free lunch? Free cell phones? Free college tuition? Free everything. Somebody has to pay for it. Can I say even freedom? Freedom. Somebody paid for it. Somebody paid for it. And if you go to communism, you throw away your freedom. And by the way, history proves that everywhere it's ever been tried. History proves it. But people don't know their history. Amen. After accepting communism and socialism, they give away their freedom and they become enslaved. And history proves that. Remembering is important. Number two, let me say this. I won't take as long with these next 2 points, I don't think. Recognition is important. In our scripture here in Matthew chapter number 26, there's the account given. The same account is told in Mark chapter number 14. And the interesting that in both accounts, our Lord uses the word memorial, that's the word we're looking at, about this woman. Wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for a memorial. It's interesting to me, there's only three times the word memorial is used in the New Testament, and two of those are the same account of this woman that gave a great sacrifice. That this woman that performed an honorable deed, that this woman who had made a great point of honoring her Savior, amen. He said, she's going to be remembered. There's going to be a memorial of it, amen. And so I look at it again. It shows great relationship to Memorial Day. Recognizing that somebody made a great sacrifice. Recognizing that somebody did an honorable deed. Recognizing that somebody made a statement that some things are worth giving up other things for. Amen. Amen. The honorable deeds and the sacrifices associated with it are what Memorial Day is about. This type of memorial or recognition does not do any good to the one being remembered. This woman, I don't know her name, and you don't either. I can't say thank you to her. One day we may get to. I understand that. But my point is this. You go lay a flower on a soldier's grave, it don't help that soldier. He's dead and gone. By the way, Joshua played a little clip of something this afternoon that Colonel Sanders was talking about. And he said he got saved when he was 77 years old, I believe. And he's going through that and talking about how he'd been blessed and graced and he's given his money away to help people and all that. And here's what he said. He said, I decided, what good is it to be the richest man in the graveyard? That's pretty good. That is real good. I believe Christianity will do that for you, by the way. Amen. Well, let me get back. Where was that? That you lay a flower on a soldier's grave, it don't help that soldier. You put a flag up for the soldier, it don't help that soldier. But it recognizes something as important. It recognizes that that soldier didn't die in vain. It recognizes that that soldier is not forgotten. That there's a remembrance being placed. By the way, that's what we put a headstone at a grave for. That's called a memorial. It is to remember that person. I can't look at the pictures of Arlington National Cemetery. That, the whole layout of that thing is amazing. How those things line up. And it is, I don't know how to say it. I have to slash through it. It is one part beautiful and the other part so saddening. To know that those men and now women have died in service to our nation. Or have at least given their service to our nation, have the privilege to be buried there. They're remembered. They're not forgotten. They're dead and gone, but it brings back to mind. It recalls, it recollects, it recognizes what they've done. And then it recognizes their sacrifice. It recognizes the cost. And it recognizes the honor that is bestowed upon these people. Amen. I say again, people need to know about the tremendous sacrifices of men and women for our country. Amen. Amen. They need to know. The word recognition, I looked that word up, again from the Latin word re, meaning again, and the word cognition, which means to know. To know. So to know again. To be reminded, to recognize that thing. There are people that don't know. Amen. I said to somebody recently that I finished the book earlier this year, where Brian Kilmeade wrote it with some help from another man, two men, and I can't remember the other one, about Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates. That's the title of the book. And Thomas Jefferson was president, by the way, where the Marines got their slogan, to the shores of Tripoli. Or from the shores, I don't remember, of Tripoli. Anyway, that in their slogan. And the first, I guess, I don't know if you call it major battle, but the first battles that the Marines had part in. I want you to listen to this account that I did not know about, and I dare say a lot of people didn't know about it. I believe it was six Marines, six. That started in Alexandria, Egypt, and had a forced march. I talked to you about it. A forced march, 500 miles across the Sinai, Sahara, is one of them deserts. 500-mile forced march, and when they got to Tripoli, they was ready to fight. They went from being 600 to being 1,200. They picked up other people coming along with them and coming in to fight for liberty, to free slaves. By the way, America has always been under the thumb of the Muslims. The Muslims, that's what they're fighting back there in Tripoli, by the way. They're fighting Muslims, Arabs, that were taking our men hostages. They were plundering our ships and holding men as slaves. Amen. And I have to say, those former presidents have been willing to pay ransom. But Thomas Jefferson said, we're not paying ransom. We're not paying pirates. He said, we're going to fight them. Amen. And John Adams said, if you fight them now, you got to be ready to fight them the rest of your life. And we may have to fight them forever. But praise God, some things are worth fighting for. Amen. Why is it? I don't have time to run all these rabbits, but y'all got me stirred up. Why is it? And I said, this is not a racial statement. It's just a statement of how these guys are. Why is it that these rag-headed fellas that obviously they don't bathe properly, they don't eat properly, they don't live properly, but they can recruit people from America that's got it made. They can recruit them to strap a bomb on their back and to go to some post office or to go to some school or go to some race or do something like that and not only blow up other people but maybe even blow themselves up. Why is it they can do that? I'll tell you why. Because they have become convinced. They have become convinced that some things are worth dying for. And America has decided nothing's worth dying for. And if it's not worth dying for, what's life worth living for? Right. That's where they come. And so they give up on life and they go to that culture of death. I want to tell you, we need to remind people again some things. And what are those things? Liberty and freedom. I don't want my children to be slaves. Amen. Amen. I don't want them to be slaves. I want my children to be able to worship God. Those things are worth fighting for. Amen. There was a time we was fighting communists. Now we're putting them in our schools, teaching our kids. Russia collusion happened a long time ago. Amen. Amen. Well, let me get back in my notes and find my place. There's some things we don't know, we need to know. There's some things we have known, we need to re-know. We need to be reminded of some of the valor of men that have stood for our country down through the years. Amen. Amen. I know they're messing up our military by trying to make it a melting pot, by trying to make it a social experiment. Putting girls out there. Something wrong with that, friend. There's a whole lot wrong with that. I ain't got time to run in it. There's a whole lot wrong with that. But then to go into there putting sodomites right in along with them and tell them everything's all right, you can't say anything. Amen. Our military wasn't put in there for people to get along. Our military's put in there, really, to be honest with you, our military's put in there either to tell people to leave us alone or we will stamp you out. Amen. They're there to fight. We're not in nation building, we're in destroying nations if they come up against us. That's what the military is supposed to be about. Amen. Might get hate mail on that, but it's right. It's still right. People need to know about the tremendous sacrifices made by men and women. Many people do not know it. We need to look at it again. We need to think about it again. We need to recognize it. Recognition is important. Amen. Placing flowers on a grave, I talked about that a minute ago. Putting out a flag is one way. It's a small way. But it's one way of saying, I remember. I remember. That life was not lived in vain. And that death, they did not die in vain. Amen. There's stories that need to be known and brought to mind. Here's my last point, and I'll finish up with this. Remorse is important. I said remembering stirs you up. It stirs me up. And you can tell sometimes about some of that gets you stirred up. But the purpose of Memorial Day is not one of celebration. It's not one of joy. But it's one of sadness. For us to remember that if we, for example, if you have a cookout tomorrow, get your family around, that the reason you can do that is because some boys never came home. Because some children had to go fatherless. Because some wives had to become widows. So that you and I could enjoy the liberties and the freedoms we have. Amen. It'd do America good to remember. The highways you're driving on, you didn't build those. But somebody had to work, slave, labor, sweat in order to build those things. Amen. The chairs you're sitting on, the clothes you're wearing, the food you're eating, the blessings we're enjoying. Listen, friend, and listen, kids, young people that are turning out to be brats need to remember you didn't come up with all that. Somebody did it for you, and it didn't come cheap.
Amen.
It didn't come cheap. It cost something. There were sacrifices made. Some of them were willing sacrifices. Some of them were a case of necessity. There was no other way. And so it's a day designated for sadness. While we do rejoice and we see that somebody's patriotic or dedicated enough to die for our nation, yet we're saddened that it must be that way. Amen? We're saddened that it has to be that day, that way. Memorial Day is a good day to remember the high price paid for our freedoms. Amen. It's a good day to recognize the heroism and the devotion that some have given to their brothers in arms and have given to their families back at home. Amen. It's also a good day to weep over the fact that we live in a fallen world and evil is true. Amen. Everything's not peachy and keen. Everything's not make-believe, happy, just wonderful. There's a lot of places in our world where evil is really rampant. Where evil is really doing its thing. And we ought to remember, what caused all that? I'm going to tell you what caused all that. Sin caused it.
Right. Amen.
Sin is to blame. Amen. Memorial Day is a good day to reflect on the value of human life.
Yes, sir.
Both in the womb and out. Amen. Human life is important. We need to remind our children again, human life is important. It's valuable. We need to recognize how precious and what a treasure that life is. It's a good day to thank God for the nation we live in. It's a good day to thank God for the sacrifices that have been made to grant us these blessings that we've been granted. It's a good day to thank those that sacrificed for us. I'm not talking about those that are dead. I'm talking about those that are alive that sacrificed for us. I know Memorial Day is different than from Veterans Day. You remember that gaffe that President Obama made when he's talking about Memorial Day, the soldiers that died for our nation? He said, "I see many of you out there today." He got confused with Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And I'll tell you probably one reason why. He probably never had celebrated Memorial Day. Amen. But it would do us good. Listen, you mamas and daddies sacrificed for y'all. I'm saying that to every one of us, by the way. It'd do us good to thank them. Remember it. Recognize it. And thank them. Amen. Police officers sacrifice for us. Amen. Soldiers sacrifice for us. Teachers sacrifice for us. Amen. And if I could get selfish, even pastors sacrifice for us. And it'd do us good to remember. It wouldn't hurt us to recognize and say thank you. Memorial Day would be a good day for that. Memorial Day would also be a good day to mourn the fact that sin brings death. Not just the one that did it, but others that are the result of it. Brother Bell's been teaching Sunday school on Cain and Abel. He touched back this morning, moving on to Seth. But you can't help but think, Abel was an innocent bystander. The first death, the first human death on the planet, was not because that he sinned, but because his parents sinned ultimately, and then that his brother hated him so much that his brother sinned. I'm telling you, sin brings death. That old statement, what I'm doing don't hurt anybody but me, is a lie.
Amen.
Sin brings death. Even valiant men, even honorable soldiers, obedient sons, are sometimes struck down in the prime of their life. Because of sin in the world. Evil in the world. As I said earlier, children left fatherless, wives left a widow, all because sin rages in the hearts of evil people. I think it does us good. And again, it might be one reason why they don't want us to recognize Memorial Day as the day it is. Remember your blessings. Recognize the high price of it. But it do us good to weep our way back to God and say, God, our nation's not the great nation it once was. Amen. It do us good to weep our way back to God and say, God, you've blessed us so much and we've not thanked you and we've not lived obediently before you. We've not sacrificed and done like we should have done for the sacrifice you did for us. And it might be a good day to have revival. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I'm not going to have a song. I'm going to dismiss in a word of prayer. I think the message is self-explanatory. It do us good to remember. It do us good to recognize. And it do us good to have a little bit of remorse. And tell God, Lord, we need you. We're sorry for the way things have turned out. We certainly need you to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you again, Lord, for our nation. Even with the flaws she has, it's still, I believe, still the greatest nation on planet Earth. Lord, I want to thank you for the history we know. Please remind us of it and help us to study our own history. And as well as the history of others. I don't want to have a racist, this nationalistic, this they say a white supremacist idea, that is the farthest thing from the truth. Our nation's made up of a hodgepodge of people. All different colors and creeds. All different kinds. I'm thankful that I'm a Baptist, but everybody don't have to be a Baptist. I don't want to make them slaves. But I don't want them to say that what we've got's not important either. I don't want them to be able to say that we can't rejoice in our history and relish our own Baptist history, our own American history, our own real history. Lord, help us. Help us, dear God, turn back to Thee. Help us recognize the soldiers and the great price they paid. Help us remember the Son of God and the great price He paid. Help us remember it didn't just cost the Son, it cost the Father. It cost heaven. It cost a great price for us to have freedom from sin, for us to have salvation offered unto us. It's free to us, but it cost dearly. Lord, I want to ask you to help us remember that. Lord, you get glory. We pray and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.